You're listening to the Social Selling Simplified Podcast. Stick around if you too are obsessed with learning things that actually work and believe that success leaves clues. We're all about identifying results-producing roadmaps and getting super clear on how to scale and grow your online business. From part-timer to president, social selling expert Ashley Shaw will help you connect the dots and take the guesswork out of what works to grow a social selling empire. It's time to hear from social selling legends, listen in on truthful conversations, and learn the best tips and tricks to reduce the marketing overwhelm so you can build a social selling business of your dreams. If you're ready to go all in, no holding back, and build the business you've always wanted, you're in the right place. Here's your host, educator, social selling guru, and fitness industry OG, Ashley Shaw.
Welcome to Social Selling Simplified. I'm your host, Ashley Shaw, and today we are chatting with Megan Gerton, who is a mom of two twins who are 3 years old, and she's also a founding platinum executive director and was actually one of the, we think we narrowed it down to the 17th founding partner that joined with a social selling company that is just up and coming and has seen such expansive growth extremely, extremely quickly. And so I'm super pumped to have Megan here today to talk us through all of the things that she has done in the last 7 months to start not only earning six figures in her company, but also doing this as an extrovert. So welcome, Megan. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Hi, thanks. I'm so excited to be here.
Awesome. So I want to dive a little bit into first. So your start with social selling has been over the last 3 years. So do you want to tell us just a little bit about how your path before this and where you were sort of stationed before working in a social selling organization?
Sure. Yeah. I always had to work during my college experience, and it took me 10 years to get my bachelor's degree, but I finally got it, and I started a job at one of the top children's hospitals here in Kansas City, Missouri, where I live, and I was ready to climb the corporate ladder, even though in the back of my mind, it just was not something that appealed to me. So I was prepared to do that, but then I got pregnant with twins, and I was pretty happy about it because I was, okay, maybe I can be a stay-at-home mom. This is going to be awesome. And then my twins were born, and it is awesome to be a stay-at-home mom. I'm really so lucky to be able to do that. But for me, I really actually missed the interaction with other people. And so I just signed up for a company. I didn't think I was going to do anything with it. I absolutely knew zero about social selling, about ranks, about any of it. I had no clue. So I kind of dipped my toes in the water there, and I just started running. I started getting into these groups and getting exposure into the opportunities that are with social selling. And I thought, if these people can do it, then I can do it. And from that day forward, I will consider myself retired from corporate America because I truly never want to go back ever again. I'm so happy doing what I'm doing. I feel like I've truly found my passion.
That's so funny. I was going to ask you that. Would you ever go back? And that was a very clear never, ever, ever.
No way.
Consider going back.
It took me 10 years to get my bachelor's degree for me to find out I want to be in the social selling industry.
Yeah. Well, sometimes you need to go through those experiences to really realize what you don't want to.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. So, okay. So this is awesome. I think there's a lot of people out there that can relate. They're going through that transition of, okay, now I'm at home and I realize I don't want to have to go back to the corporate world if I don't want to. How did you get up? I'm going to call it the courage. Maybe that's not exactly the right word, but how did you get up that ability to start diving in and really looking at other opportunities? What drove that passion for you?
Honestly, once I started seeing some paychecks coming in, and in the beginning, it was just a couple hundred dollars here, a few hundred dollars there, and then I would hit a rank bonus, and then I would get that. And it was just seeing that possibility that mm-hmm. I can replace what I was making doing this. And I'm doing it from home with my kids. And part of my appeal is to my audience is being a twin mom and, you know, people seeing you work your business and live your life, the behind the scenes of that, which took me a little bit to get comfortable with, mm-hmm. but it was just being able to see the future from a completely different perspective than a 9-to-5. And so that's really kind of where I got my my courage, I guess, to dive totally in.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So it was one of those experiences of being at home and being in that place, but then seeing this opportunity as the checks were coming in, it was all of a sudden, this could be very possible.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was seeing people that I knew personally, and they were doing it. They were doing the thing, and they were making the money, and they were taking their family on vacations and retiring their husbands and just getting to do these things that you never really think are possible. Sometimes you never really think, hey, if I want to go to Disney World, you know, I'll have to save for a few years and then we can go. But now if you want to do those types of things, you can book it. You can go and do it because you're just able to do that. And I thought that was just amazing because so many people work their entire life to be able to start making a solid monthly income where they're able to put stuff away for their kids' funds or retirement or save up for that lake house. Mm-hmm. And it's really exciting how you can accelerate that if you really dig in and learn how to be adaptable and to just learn the business.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you just gave me chills thinking about that because it's so true. There are so many people that sit with that unhappiness and just think like the future will be better. The future will be better. But it's amazing when you can take control and, you know.
Well, and the crazy thing about this industry is that worst case scenario is that you stay exactly where you are. Best case scenario is that you get to grow and, you know, develop yourself personally. And I mean, you never know what's going to happen. If you would have ever asked me if I would be at the top of the company whenever I very first started, I would have totally laughed in your face. Mm-hmm. I would have just thought that was the funniest thing ever. It had to be a joke because I had no clue what I was doing. But once I kind of got exposed, I got really hungry for it because I could see that anybody can do it. Truthfully, anybody can do it.
Mm-hmm. And I think the other thing that is interesting about your story that we talked about a little bit was that you, Bellamy would have been the second company that you started with in social selling. And sometimes I think social sellers can see other people being successful in, you know, various opportunities and companies and then think, yeah, they could do it, but maybe not me. It's probably just not for me. There's a lot of people that maybe can get to the top or that maybe that select few, but it won't work for me. So what do you think was the difference between when you found this company versus maybe other ones you had worked in the past? What made it possible for you to get to the top?
I think timing is really key in any company. I think that you can grow in any company that you want to grow in. Mm-hmm. However, I do think that if you choose a company where timing is on your side, where it's a newer company, the saturation in the market is not already there. I think that that is really beneficial. But I also think not comparing yourself to others is huge because the second you stop doing that, you're going to see yourself grow personally. I know, I mean, it happens to everybody. And I think it happens across any career that you're in. If you look at somebody else and you're like, well, they can do it, but I can't do it. You're looking at their specific skill set. You're looking at what they're bringing to the table and what draws you to them. And you're right. You probably cannot do what they're doing because you're a different person, but you can do something that's unique to you. And there's so many people in the world. There's going to be people who are drawn more to you than they would be to that person. So I think it's just really developing yourself and your personal brand and just getting that backbone to, you know, take control and do what you want to do.
Mm-hmm. Well, that makes so much sense about when a company is brand new. Like you said, the saturation isn't going to be there and you can really decide how you bring that product or that feel or that brand experience to market. You're not relying on what other people may or may not already know, or you're able to like really bring it to life in your own way using your own skill set, as you said.
Yeah, you're like blazing a new path whenever it's a new company or a newer company, because I think all network marketing companies kind of go through this cycle of being brand new and then they hit momentum and then they can kind of coast because everybody has heard about them. So getting on before you actually launch into that momentum, you are able to help create and just kind of shape that brand. And it's been an exciting thing to be a part of.
Oh, that's amazing. So when you talk about timing, how would you suggest that timing plays into that for them, or what things should they be aware of or look for?
Something that I looked for, timing is a huge thing. And I actually was not even looking for this opportunity whenever it came along for me, but I was looking around, how many people do I know that are talking about it? I searched the hashtag. I wanted to see how many people were using those hashtags. And I looked at the company. I was seeing how many people were liking their posts, like what was going on their social media, who was talking about it. Because whenever I was looking, there wasn't hardly anybody talking about it. And that was super scary because I was leaving a company and I felt like I had a really strong base there. I wasn't exactly where I wanted to be, but I still was at the time too. I was, you know, making a decent amount of money every month. I never would in a million years would have expected to go to the top of a company, but I was leaving behind what I felt like was a decent amount of money to be bringing in for a stay-at-home mom. And leaving that behind for something that was brand new was really scary. But if you do your due diligence and if you try the products beforehand and if it's something that you truly believe in, I say take the jump. I mean, because you never know where it's going to take you. You never know if it's going to be one of those next companies that skyrockets. You could think of any big company, any social selling company out there right now. And somewhere, sometime, there were people who took that jump in the very beginning. And I'm sure it's paying off big time for them.
So if you were looking at a company again, let's say, what would be the top three things that you would suggest looking at to really make sure? I mean, obviously nothing is always 100% guaranteed, but what would be the things you would look at to really solidly be able to plant your feet there?
Okay. The first thing that I would look at would be timing. The next thing I would definitely look at would be consumability. Is this something that someone is going to be needing to replenish? Are they going to have to buy more of it at some point? Or is it going to be something that they buy one time and they decide, you know, I got it. I love it. I don't ever need it again.
The other one I was thinking that might come up is I thought I had heard a story about you and Audrey being able to actually talk to Melissa. I don't know how many people will have that exact same opportunity, but learning more about the CEO. And like, I guess maybe we could talk about what the third thing might be something to do with that.
Yeah, we got a phone call from Melissa. I was interested in the company and I told her that my best friend, who honestly having a running buddy in this business has been so key for me. We got on the call with the CEO of this company and I had about a million questions for her. And keep in mind, I'm totally a rookie social seller. You know, I'm not by any means coming over, you know, with this massive team or following or anything like that. I mean, I was just asking questions that I was nervous about. And she is an open book. She's the kindest person. And she, you know, she answered every single thing. And you could tell that her heart and her passion were in it. She's been in the industry for over 20 years. She knows the ins and outs, ups and downs. And you could really feel that in your conversation with her. And every time you meet her. I mean, then I didn't meet her. It was just a phone call. But whenever you meet her in person, she's one of those people that you feel like you've known for about a million years. And you know, she's family. So I just felt after that phone call, I'm like, okay, this is it. This is the jump that I'm willing to take.
Oh, I love that. Yeah. It's pretty incredible when you can feel like any company that you're going to take the leap for. I mean, I think of any job, it has always been, I do a lot for the people that I work with. The person that I'm, you know, in this case, obviously it's a little bit different, the reporting to versus working together with, but I'm all about the people that I'm serving and working with. And to have that sort of, you know, those factors, the company being new and being able to get in and meet with the CEO, you know, through a phone conversation right away, that would feel pretty solid in terms of like, okay, I can trust her. You know, it seems like the right decision.
Yeah, the trust was there, like that gut instinct, you know, whenever you meet somebody and you just instantly kind of vibe with them, you can feel it. I mean, it's the same way with meeting a friend or, you know, it's just a good feeling whenever you can just feel their sincerity and that they're genuine. It's pretty cool.
Awesome. All right. So I want to move a little bit more into your initial tendencies when you were getting into social selling were maybe not the type to be taking selfies and, you know, being an open book to everyone on social media. So can you tell us a little bit about what that was like when you first got involved in social selling?
Yeah. I mean, before I think whenever I very first started social selling, I had 400 friends on Facebook. I pretty sure I only used my Instagram because it had filters on it. So I would post pictures that way. I just definitely was not somebody who was documenting every single thing on Facebook. I would, you know, post about the big stuff, but I mainly was someone who was scrolling and looking at what everyone else was doing. So I'm typically a pretty extroverted person around my friends and people that I'm comfortable with. But as far as putting myself out in the social selling world, you pull back a little bit. You become a little bit shy because you don't have that confidence behind you of knowing that they already know you and like mm-hmm. you. So it was really hard for me to actually get out there and just kind of experiment with getting to know other people, especially virtually. But one thing that I found is that if you're yourself and you're authentic, people are so drawn to that. And I have so many friends now that I've never even met in person, but I feel like I know them and I know they feel like they know me. And it's all through the power of social media. Just by opening that door, you don't have to, you know, write your entire life story on the internet, but mm-hmm. you know, if you put enough out there, you find people that you can relate to. And for me, that was huge. And I think it was also tied into the timing in my life because I was at home with my 5-month-old twin girls whenever I very first started. And so having adult conversation was so huge. And I just love talking about other things other than my kids and being able to focus on something other than, you know, when their next diaper changes or nap time or whatever, you know. It was just nice to focus on something else. So it was a really good time for me to experiment with that or experience that avenue in social media.
Yeah. I really like the point where you said, I think there's a lot of introverts out there that don't want to put themselves out there because like you said, it's sort of this feeling of, well, they don't really know me. So, you know, maybe they'll take this the wrong way, or maybe they won't see my point through this, but it's sort of like the chicken and the egg. What comes first? The more that you sort of slowly start to put yourself out there, the more that your people will start to see, oh, like she's a lot like me. And, you know, she's just a regular mom trying to get by just like I am. You know, so that was a really cool point because I think a lot of people feel like that. They're like, I know I felt like that around Instagram, Insta stories and stuff. At first, I was like, well, what do people really want to know behind the scenes? My office is a mess. I'm just, you know, waiting for my house cleaner to come for the next time.
I'm just a normal person.
Yeah, exactly. So it's really, that's an interesting point, I think, for people to think about. What's the best way for someone to get to know you? Well, it's for you to open the door a crack and let them kind of come and see inside and then decide if they want to stay. Yeah. You're not forcing them. They just get to make that decision.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And whenever I started my social selling journey, it'll be 3 years in May that I've been doing it. Mm-hmm. Facebook Live was brand new and it was the hot thing to do was jump on Facebook Live. And I remember it because I would scroll by and be like, what is this person doing? Videotaping themselves, talking to the camera. That is so weird. And it was brand new. And so I felt, oh my gosh, I have to do a Facebook Live. You guys, the first time I ever did one, I drove around in my neighborhood in my car for like 45 minutes before I could pull over and finally do one. And I think it was like a minute and a half. And I was so scared, but if you're an introverted person looking to get into this business, there are so many more avenues now other than just hopping on a Facebook Live and winging it. I mean, you can do Instagram stories. You can focus on just building your Instagram where you take really cool pictures and you have really good content. That's just about you and that's unique to you instead of just jumping on a live video on the internet.
Yeah, for sure. And I found one thing that it sort of was the training wheels for me getting on and doing lives. I have a free social selling community. So getting in there and doing lives, it was like these people already sort of maybe know who I am or getting an intro to me. Like I already know they're interested in social selling. So it made it a little bit easier. And the other thing I did was when I would go on Instagram live when I was, you know, just starting out, I always knew there wasn't going to be a lot of viewers. So it was my practice time. I'll do it there first and then I'll do it on Facebook because, you know, I'll probably have more people there. So it was the more practice of just getting used to being yourself in front of the camera. It definitely becomes easier the more that you do it.
Oh, for sure. It becomes so much easier. And I don't know if it comes with age, but it just becomes a lot more clear. I'm going to be 34 tomorrow.
Happy early birthday.
It's just that, thanks. I don't really care what people think, because the people who are going to judge me, they're not going to be my friends anyways. Yeah. So why do I care what they think that's going to hold me back from reaching my goals or putting myself out there? I would have never done a podcast. I was the kid in school who, whenever we had to do speeches, I would pretend that I was sick. I really am just not, the type that would just want to just jump on a Facebook Live. So there was definitely a learning curve, but it's empowering once you kind of overcome some of those fears.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And when it comes to all the people that were, could be worried about, you're exactly right. It's one, you would never be friends in real life. They would just you know, it would never become a thing that you'd probably ever have to have a, or would want to have a conversation with that person.
Right.
But then I always say you would never want to take advice from somebody whose life you wouldn't want. And I'm just assuming, I'm just throwing it out there that if you're doing a live and someone's being super judgy about it, you probably wouldn't want to be in their shoes anyway. Sitting behind the computer and just judging people. That seems like a lot of work and like unsatisfying work. So it's kind of helpful in thinking about it that way.
Exactly. I'd rather surround myself with positive thinkers and those that want to dream bigger than what you really think is possible. If you have a goal and you think you can achieve it in a year, you should probably shoot a little bit higher for something and think about your 5 or 10 year plan. And I want to be around people who are going to push me to do that, because it's really easy being a stay-at-home mom to be like, meh, I don't really feel like working today because my kids are driving me crazy, but it's good to be around people who push you.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And so let's talk a little bit about that then with your schedule. Obviously, you got a lot of stuff going on. How many hours would you say that it takes for you to work your business in a week?
I would probably say 10 to 15 of actually working just solely focused on my business. My girls go to school 2 days a week and they're gone for 4 hours both those days. So I'm able to crunch a lot into that time, but I just try to make sure that the time that I am online and that I'm working my business, I'm really hyper-focused and just really just tuned completely into exactly my tasks. I don't go down the scroll hole. I just do exactly what my income producing activities are so that I can keep on board with that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because my time is very limited.
For sure. That's incredible. 10 to 15 hours making six figures from home. That's incredible. So what kind of things would you spend the majority of your time on that you know are those income producing activities for you?
The number one thing that I try to work on is prospecting. And I kind of hate that term because it feels kind of slimy to me, but it's just really strengthening and building those relationships with people that I already have on my social media, people that I would like to connect with, or just even people that I find that I have things in common with. Because the more that you're active on their pages, the more the algorithm is going to boost your page. So making sure that I'm constantly doing that during my time. And I try to do that even in the little 5 minute breaks of my day. If I've got 10 minutes where my kids are entertaining themselves, I'll try to hop on and just do at least a little bit of that. Another thing that I am really strict on is following up. Even if it's somebody that tried the product or was interested in the business 6 months ago, I will always follow up. And I don't use scripts to do any of this stuff. I just speak from the heart. And if somebody tells me no, then I don't keep following up. I'm not going to keep pestering them. Mm-hmm. But I do always try to follow up, because you never know when that time's going to be right or where they're going to see some of your material and it's going to spark an interest for them to either want to start the business or try your products. You never know whenever that time comes for certain people. So those are a couple of the main things that I do.
That you do. Perfect. And so when it comes to the follow-up and that piece of it, how do you determine, I guess, when it's time to follow up? Is that after you guys would send out some samples, that sort of idea? Is that how your process works?
Yeah, I keep, I don't, on my Apple computer, I have sticky notes, which I'm kind of old school. It's a little upgrade from my pen and paper. Uh-huh. I wish I was an app person who could plug all this into an app, but I'm just not. And I like to see things right in front of me, all of it. So I have little sticky notes and I write the date that I contacted them and then I'll write my follow-up dates on there. And depending on what their response is how soon I will follow up or what my next step with them will be. But I typically follow up after samples or if anybody has reached out or commented on a post about specifically about my business, then I'll reach out to them that way. But yeah, I try to keep it pretty simple because I don't want to write a novel post to these people. I just want to touch base with them because I kind of feel like one of the stigmas in social selling is these copy and paste messages where people are just, ugh, you sent this to 10 people, mm-hmm. didn't you? Mm-hmm. But I absolutely try to avoid that at all costs because I don't like it done to me. And I kind of think it's a little bit of an old school way of doing business.
Yeah, for sure. Whenever I get those, hey girl, are you on a, it's usually, you know, either like a health and fitness journey or are you into this too? You can always just feels like inauthentic. So I love that. Yeah, exactly. You can just tell it's a numbers, feels like a numbers game being on the other side, you know? So I love that. I love that it's all authentic and from the heart.
I feel like that used to work, you know, back, you know, whenever social selling was just coming around, whenever you just kind of mass message people, but there's so many people in the industry now. I think it's really important to be unique and authentic so that people can feel that. Truthfully, people can feel it through your messages, where you're coming from. And if you're genuinely interested in working with them, I tell all of my new partners, it's not just about getting people on your team, getting those numbers of I've got 10 partners, you know, that signed up this month or whatever. It's about finding people who actually want to run with you and work the business with you, because that's going to be completely key to actually building your business.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Not just finding people to be on your team, but people that actually one, you'd like to hang out with because they're cool and you get along, but exactly. Also people that actually want to have it as a business and work the business with you.
Absolutely. Yes.
Yeah. Love that. Are there any other things that you wanted to mention or talk about that you feel would be helpful?
So one of the most powerful things that I heard, I was listening to a podcast and I kind of touched on it a little bit earlier, but it was talking about fear gremlins and about, you know, before you start anything new, you've got all these thoughts like, oh, well, you won't be good enough. You're probably not pretty enough. Like maybe you should lose some weight or I could never sell that because of, you know, XYZ or my friends would make fun of me. You've got all these voices in your head telling you all the things that you shouldn't do. And I just think it's so important to realize that where you are right now truly is your worst case scenario. I said that earlier, but it's something that has seriously stuck with me because you're never going to grow unless you take those chances, unless you take those leaps, and there's going to be growing pains. You're probably going to fall or fail more often than you succeed. And it's going to be like that for forever, especially if you're trying something new. I tell my team all the time, I mean, if you have kids and your kid was trying to ride a bike and they fell off, would you just be like, well, guess you never ride that bike again because you're pretty terrible the first time? No, like you tell them you try again, like you do this, like you learn new ways to do it. You keep pushing them because you want them to grow and to grow into that skill or that talent. And the same thing is for us as adults. But I think that we've got this idea of being perfect all the time or doing it right the first time just in our head because we're always wearing so many hats. It's just important to just let yourself grow and let yourself fail a little bit and learn a little bit. Because I still fail every single day. Trust me, I try different things and I'm not perfect at it, but it's just important to keep trying because it makes you a better person and it sets such a good example for your kids. I want my kids to know that they can, anything that they want to do in life, you can truly do it. You can absolutely freaking do it. You just have to learn how to do it. It's just a skill. Mm-hmm. It's just like anything else.
Mm-hmm. You just reminded me of when you had said, with our, you know, kids riding a bike, it's not bike riding's not for you, right? That, you know, when you said that, and I thought back to earlier in your story, when you said that you had made that decision that you were going to stay home with your kids, it was all of a sudden option B, it disappeared, right? Like option A, and in that same example of kids riding a bike, it's like, option A is you're going to learn how to ride a bike. Option B is that you're never going to learn how to ride the bike. And it's option B just doesn't exist. And right. I think that you put that so beautifully. That's really what it is. When we're learning something, you know, it's like going back to that beginner's mind or the, you know, that child's mind. It's just, we know it's going to take some time. It's going to take some negotiating. You know, to your other point, what you're teaching your children through this journey of, you know, I go after my goals and you should too. You can do anything you put your mind to. It's just a beautiful message to be able to, you know, to lead and leave with your children as they grow up and, you know, decide on which adventures they're going to take on.
Exactly. Exactly. The fails always suck a little bit. They sting, but man, whenever you get those wins, it feels so good. It's like cloud nine. So it's worth it, you know?
Mm-hmm. And do you have any advice on how you deal with the ups and downs through the business? Is there anything that you specifically do to really make sure that you get yourself through those or that you manage them?
I would say specifically in this business is make sure that you're getting to know other people in your tribe or in your company. It doesn't have to be someone underneath you. It can be a cross line. It can be someone on another team. But if it's somebody that you feel connected to, make sure you have several of those people who are kind of on the same journey with you. They know the pains, they know the struggle, they know what the wins feel like, and they're dreaming big just like you. So make sure that you have people right there beside you who are going to keep pushing you, who get it, but they're going to keep pushing you anyways. I think it's so important to make sure that you've got that group to keep you strong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that advice is so valuable. I am part of a mastermind. It's just wrapping up at the end of this month, but I'm surrounded with other six-figure online entrepreneurs. And when you bring a question to a group like that, you know, you're never going to get the answer, that will never work. You're going to get the answer of try these things. And then you've got a list of things to go home with. So it's not like ever a dead end. It's nope, that angle just didn't work. I'm just going to work around it and go this way. So I think that's such sound advice and definitely something that, you know, it can be, I think, easy sometimes to, you know, sometimes get caught up in groups or with people that mindset may not be where you want to go, but you tend to hang around sometimes those people. And it's really important to choose wisely because those people that you surround yourself with, their ideas have gotten them to where they are. So if you want to go further in your business, you need to be really conscious about who you surround yourself with because oftentimes you share advice.
Exactly. So. Exactly.
Awesome. Yeah, that was so great. Thank you so much for being on the show. I just love your authenticity and how just you were just like an open book and sharing your story and sharing your passion for what you do. I really, really appreciate you taking the time to be here on the show today.
Thank you so much for inviting me. It's been so fun.
Yay. Thank you so much, Megan.
Thank you.
If you're ready to go 100% in building the business of your dreams, I'd love for you to apply at ashleyshaw.ca/mastermind. Thank you so much for listening to the podcast. I'll see you right back here for the next episode on Social Selling Simplified.